We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, August 19, 2026, at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation. Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Thiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Jurgens. We also have the Honorable Dwayne Rue in the audience from the city of Beatrice. Welcome. Welcome to the public. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held August 5th, 2026. Approve all claims through August 19th, 2026. In the amount of $1,080,309.50, except claim numbers 260800081 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $3,436.79, and claim number 260800187 to RL Thiemann Construction Inc. in the amount of $23,154.09 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Receive and place on file fiscal year 24-25 audit report. Approve changing designation of Patty Milligan to Lori Wallenberg to prepare the fiscal year 26-27 levy requests. Approve appointing Peggy Shores to the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board to replace Marlene Gackle. Approve utility permit number 1353 to Inline Construction. Inline Construction will be boring a new water line 2-inch in diameter by 4 to 5 foot deep under Olive Road, then excavate an open trench water line placement along Trail in the outer edge of Trail's right away for roughly 3,000 feet. The bore under Beeline Road, Olive Lane, to the south, greater ditch, and continue work on the private property located north in Section 16, Township 2, North Range 7 East, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Ron Burgundy comes to mind. Approve receiving county offices inventory statements and place on file. Approve EMS agreement extension letters and authorize chairman to sign said letters.
So
moved by Adams, second by Lytle. Are you talking for the UMass?
I have that, and then on Peggy, when he sent out Peggy, no one commented, so I put it on.
Motion to approve as presented by Adams, second by Lytle. Miss Haxby.
Peggy, I have reached out to somebody. Who is that?
Peggy is from Wymore. I think she was a nurse. She works at the pharmacy now. I don't know how old she's of that age. And a good woman that has expressed interest multiple times. So, I mean.
Okay. I just wasn't sure more than recommending.
Yeah, no, that's.
And then the EMS extension, how many, what time frame is that?
A year.
What 1 year extension?
Okay. So if you guys don't want them on, pull them off, but we need to move on some of it. Okay.
Any other discussion on the consent agenda? Good questions. If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 260800060 and claim number 260800081. Is there an extra one in there?
Yeah, there is. Do 181. That's 600 should be in there.
Okay.
I copied and pasted on that one.
To Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $3,436.79 and claim number 260800187 to RLT Construction Inc. in the amount of $23,154.09. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through August 19th, 2026 to $1,106,900, $1.38, these companies I am involved with.
I'll make the motion to approve, but just for clarification, there's one claim, and it's 260800181 to Hard Rock Quarries for $3,436.79. So I'll make the motion.
Not the 2.6 with the extras?
Yes.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any discussion on these two? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with team and abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors. Anything can be brought up not on the agenda for future reference or discussion by the board. Seeing none today, we will move on to committee reports. Building and Grounds, Winter Lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. I just had a couple of things. We are going to replace the sprinkler heads in the courthouse lawn. The system works fine, but just the heads are 16 years old now, so there's about 120 heads. So that should, I think, the rain delayed him a little bit, but he should be here towards the end of this week or beginning of next week. And then the generator, we're still working on the getting the horizontal boring done on that. I did contact him, and he said he'll try and get to that soon. So just to run electrical out to near where the transformer is, and then we can pour a pad and get that generator out there. And then we would like to overseed the courthouse yard this fall yet also. So that's what we got going on.
If I can get a top dresser, do you have a way to get it around?
We could figure something out on that.
I might talk to you. I might have found somebody that would be willing to donate usage of a top dresser, and then if you want to put sand or something in, I might be able to donate some sand just to, I think it'd be good for the grass to break everything up.
Yeah, it has, just over the years, it has gotten bumpy and stuff, so that would be.
I don't know how big it is if your mower would pull it. Otherwise, we might be able to find something else that you can use for free.
Okay.
Give until it hurts.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Equalization, we had a brief equalization meeting this morning. We'll have values later on in the meeting, I believe, correct? We'll be setting the levy allocations later in the meeting. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Advanced correctional high-ticket items, advanced correctional health care, jail on-site medical services, $11,503.90. Applied Connective, IT consulting, equipment, labor, etc., $54,850.19. Gage County, transfer funds to 911 communication, $127,038.90. GBE, CPA, ending 25 audit, $10,000. Region 5 Systems, co-funding, $12,518. TEK 84 Incorporated, scanner service agreement, $11,800. Yatra's concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $51,073.22. RL Team Construction, township gravel and hauling, $23,154.09. Sat Brothers Fuel Oil, $27,426.62. Stay Belt Construction, 2026 armor coating certification number 2, final payment $141,781.61. Last but not least, City Batches, quarterly 9/11 EMS $63,031.63.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. We'll be talking budget later on in the meeting. But as budget requests came in, we started out somewhere around $2 million above what our potential asking even was. We're whittling that down. A large portion of that is the increase to our insurance potential liabilities, which increases our budget because we are self-insured. So we're working through that. had discussions with the sheriff as well as the sheriff apparent moving forward, not elect yet, but Spencer, just wondering how that would work because we haven't touched on their budget yet. We also have retro pay and everything. Is that budget works, or is this works through the new contract? I don't know what those dollar amounts will be yet, but once we have those, that'll have to come out of that budget. We'll have to see how we back fund that. We're getting closer, but we're still not there. So Mark's budget, highway department budget, has taken some hits already. I don't know where else things will be coming out of, but everybody could see some adjustments moving forward. We're trying to make them as mild as possible, but $2 million is $2 million, and it's still, I know some people don't like that there are additional caps and levy lids in place. I think that's a good thing. It keeps our spending down. It's just we need to use that money as well as possible. Human resources, employee relations, working through some contract negotiation items with the FOP. Not really negotiation items, but interpretation items. I'm confident we'll get through those and everything will be fine. Law enforcement emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything for emergency management?
Yes.
And planning and zoning.
Yep.
As Lisa's coming up, Ms. Hill did secure the high school for a public hearing to hear folks in regards to the recommendation to an 18-month moratorium on data centers. That is scheduled currently for September 2nd. We anticipate starting that around 4 o'clock. I'd like you guys to be there closer to 3:30. Right now we're anticipating allowing 2 minutes of discussion per person. We'll give instruction there. If it's just repetition of what was said already, they can stand up and give agreement on what's said, but hopefully that way we can touch on as many actual pieces of information as possible. We'll also reserve the right to question anyone that we want that's up there if they have additional information that we need extra time with. That way somebody comes up with something that's different, we can spend as much time with them as they want, but we'll limit that to 2 minutes to get their points out, and then that way we can pull additional info after that. Is there any other information on that you can think of to start with? That'll be specifically a public hearing to hear support or opposition for an 18-month moratorium to data centers in Gage County.
We already have an 8-month one in place now, Eric?
We do.
Okay.
We do.
Perfect. We'll do our best to disseminate that information out as well, but I'm sure the press and the groups will help us do that too. On September 2nd, you also have the hearing here during the morning for livestock regulations. That was given to you from planning and zoning. You guys had the opportunity to go back and review some of those points that you wanted to do. Those changes were given, you know, to Don. If someone wants a copy of that, we can get that out to them. There's also copies downstairs on the table, and Don has some copies too. So planning and zoning's next meeting will be September 17th. Again, September 17th for our next meeting. We have an open agenda. We're just gathering information right now, but to begin and, you know, to continue conversations on data center regulations will be part of our agenda as well, and reviewing some of the information that we've received so far. So also I had the opportunity to attend the Nemaha NRD meeting when they were approving or disapproving their regulations. They're very similar, you know, to what Lower Big Blue has in effect. I think the biggest difference is probably that the consideration of large volume water users, there's 100 million gallons difference between, that's per year. So if, for instance, a 400 million, it goes by acre, but I always ask that they decipher it down by what is a consideration of a large water user. in the eyes of the application process for the NRD. And so they go on so many acres and based upon 1 foot. But if you're going to decipher that down, for Gage County, for the lower Big Blue NRD, it's 130 million gallons per year. If a user is going to use more than that, that constitutes a large volume water user in the application process. For the Nemaha NRD, theirs is at 163 million gallons of water per year, and then that focuses over into those regulations. So decipher that down, I guess, to the per day of what a user would be. For Nemaha, it would be 446,000 gallons per day. And then for Gage County, for Lower Big Blue, I should say 356,000. But there's a long list of that application process when it becomes, you know, a large water user or any change order of any existing, you know, well that's there.
So. Is that based on well rating or is that based on allowable usage?
Allowable use. Well, that's actually based upon the facts that they're giving through the application process, through the hydrological studies as well. So it could take an effect if there's an existing well that was going to be converted. But I'm not a Lower Big Blue or a Nemaha NRD representative. So when we get those questions, we can compile. They're both very open to conversation, and certainly questions that you have, we can forward to them.
Because I know all irrigation wells, anyway, are required by this fall to have a meter on them.
Flow meters, yes. Yeah. Tecumseh still has, or Nemaha still has it as an option within their rules and regulations. They, you know, no wells can be placed within 1,000 feet. In Nemaha, they passed that rule regulation. Lower Big Blue has already had that in place. As you remember, we had that through our review of the wellhead protection area, too. So
I talked to Chuck at the Nemaha NRD Friday to see if you wanted me to head over there, just try to be preemptive to see what's going on. And we had the discussion again, you know, are you for or against this? And I said, we're neither. We're for any development, but we're against any depletion of resources. And we had a really good talk. He said, don't bother coming over. We have this stuff going on. I'm going to be gone Friday. We'll touch base this week and go over things. But it seemed like they had an extremely comprehensive plan in place. And beyond permitting and the hydrologic studies presented for the permitting, even after those studies come in from a developer or customer, basically, then that goes to their peer review. And their peer review seems to be extremely extensive. They have three professionals that don't have any skin in the game here necessarily. They're only looking at the numbers, two out of state, one in state, and they don't give answers that people necessarily want. They just give the answers based on facts. So I think they're going to be as objective of observer as possible. Now, the NRD said they're going to be, their board is extremely conservative as far as water usage. So that's also a little extra safety factor as we look at things. They have more test wells in that area than anywhere else in their district. They've got the historical data. They'll provide that to anyone. But as far as resource conservation, I think we're as safe as we can be with that NRD board in place up there. So
No matter what, both NRDs, the application comes to them first in terms of the processes. Their board reviews and their board votes whether or not this particular well can be used for that particular purpose. Nemaha has a 21 board, and I believe the Lower Big Blue is a 15 or 14. All good meetings. They're very aware. There was probably I would say 25 individuals there that did testify at the hearing for water use and the concerns that those individuals up in the northern area of Argage County are presenting. So, on emergency management side of things, Becky and I both met with NEMA on last week. We are in the process of putting together the facts and figures for briefings moving forward with FEMA funding coming back to us for that presidential declaration. So processes are in place. It just takes time. So that's all I have. Thanks.
All right. Gus didn't share anything with me as far as law enforcement. You know, we do have, I don't know if anybody wants to discuss jail bond at this point. If we do, I guess we can have that conversation now. Otherwise, I don't believe we have anything else.
Well,
we're on the left of us.
We had a great discussion Monday during committee, and I think there's no doubt everyone agrees we need a jail facility definitely. Will it pass? There's 21,000 people in Gage County, 14,000 registered voters. So if it was 50% that came to vote, that's 7,000 people. Is there 3,501 people that are sophisticated going to jail? I think we as a body agree. Maybe we haven't sold it to the community. Three town halls.
This may not be enough to convince people. I'm not sure that they're ready to go to the ballot now. The negative, if we go to the ballot now, if it is a negative, we don't even have a land location identified. I think we need to have a place identified. This is going to be it. If we go now, then we always have it's failed again. And if we wait until do it next spring, 1 year, whatever, it'll be 20,000 to 40,000 to have a special election. And we also risk the price of a new building, maybe $1 million more. So I guess the discussion here is, can this all be ready by September 1st? September 1st for Don to have it on the ballot. Hey, it's cutting it too close, well, I think, to be successful.
September 1st is when you have to have it to me, but the ballots won't go out until
that's what I meant. It's got to be to you by September 1st.
Anybody who requests one, yes.
So, I mean, I think our discussion Monday was probably 30 minutes, probably roughly, you know, on that Monday, and sometimes it's tough to repeat something that we just went over, but in fairness to the people, we probably should, because this is a big, big deal. I think we're all concerned about it passing by property tax. We sat through 800 protests. No one is happy with the property tax they're paying. But until the state of Nebraska changes legislation that allows a special use tax to be assessed to go towards infrastructure as a jail, that would make it a lot more tolerable for people to approve of.
Additional taxes, I guess just on the other side, additional taxes or additional taxes, not saying what it's going to, you know. The only way we can bring those down are control our spending, which I think we do very well. Other taxing agencies control their spending. The only other way we control taxes is increase our tax base, which the only quick way to do that is industrial growth or incredible commercial growth. We've got a lot of potential with Lancaster being right by us, and then, you know, we're still kind of the hub down in southeast Nebraska, but that's how you bring in more revenue without taking more from the average person.
I think the big thing is, and he touched on most of it, was the lack of location We've had a few town halls, but we haven't had the opportunity to go out to all the different communities. And we just got the first draft of the cost analysis, and I think that's going to be a really big thing that we need to have ironed out completely and informed for everyone, because there's a cost whether we build or whether we don't build. Because if we don't build, we're going to be boarding everyone out. And so there's a cost either way, and I think that's important to make sure that that cost analysis is complete and that everybody has an opportunity to review it before they vote. And this is going to be a vote of the people, so that's something that we have to work on getting out there before we move forward. And I just don't think that we have the time to do that before September 1st, so that's why we're looking at doing it more in the spring.
Ms. Haxby and Mr. Lytle, have you guys identified, I mean, have you narrowed it down in your committee to the location approximately, or down to top couple?
No, we just got the agreement with the company that's going to do that searching. So, and we're looking all over, and that was something that we talked about at the meeting. We're looking in or around Beatrice, because this is also a law enforcement center. So we want to make sure that that law enforcement center is centralized for the response for our law enforcement throughout the entire county. We've taken the suggestions from our town hall meetings. We've taken suggestions from our tours. And we have submitted that to the company that goes and looks at all those different parcels. We're not, other than that we're looking between, I think it was 12 and 80 acres, we're letting the company look at our infrastructure needs, whether that's, you know, fiber, plumbing, water, electrical, like a lot of those things have to be considered when we're looking at a parcel of ground. And then also, we have ideal places that we'd like to go, but if that ideal place is going to be three times the cost, then we're not going to go there. We have a lot of different options. We're looking, I think, at least 11 or 12 different parcels in or around Beatrice.
I've heard in the public, and this is not correct, but it's the same thing as Ms. Mason accused us of doing things without telling the public. If there was a location, I was not aware of it. So, I mean, this just brings it out in the open for everyone. There is not a location nailed down yet. It has been discussed and you're working towards it, but there's always this conspiracy theory where stuff's being done and we're not telling everyone about it. We're not as crafty as people think. We're pretty open in our meetings.
I think the failure 15 years ago was part of location and came late in the game. Again, I'm going to go back to, I don't care if we build a jail 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years from now, I think we acquire a piece of property. This is the property that it will be built on, whether it's 1 month, 1 week, 1 year, 10 years later. This is our identified location, and I think it makes it easier for people to pass knowing where something is ahead of time. They can have their discussions. And then something we all need to remember, some things we cannot talk about. Real estate acquisition is one of them. If we let everyone know where this is going, it's not us indirectly that pays. It's every person in the county is going to pay a lot more. That's why the real estate is always behind closed doors. The public won't know about that until it is finalized, whether they like it or not. That's just the nature of the game on some of that stuff. But to my knowledge, I know of no location. None have been identified to me on any spots.
I can say that Emily and I have looked at several pieces of property, like she said, ranging in size. And, you know, we've had discussions of how we handle if you know, you have to do something larger than the 15 to 20 acres that we need. You know, what are you doing with the excess property that you have to purchase in order to get that? You know, are you turning around and putting it right back on the market, or what are you doing? But, you know, we have identified several locations. You know, I think there's some premium to certain areas, but that doesn't mean that that has to be where it is. Like Emily said, if the price is not right in one place, then we'll look at another place. But we'll do our best to make it a place that's easily accessed for law enforcement, for getting out into the public, and for having the resources we need to run the jail efficiently. So that's what we're looking at. We're a little ways away from that. So, you know, if you've filed to do this fall, and that process takes 2 more months, you're at risk of not having a location pinned down before ballots start going out into the public for voting. So it's we knew when we started this process that it was going to be tight to get it on this ballot. And I feel like this last meeting that we just had was a really good one. I just wish that a lot of that information had come out maybe in the second town hall meeting, and it just hasn't moved along as quickly as what I feel we would have needed to have it on the ballot this fall. So
there's just a lot of information to get out, a lot yes. more that we have to hammer through before we put it to a vote. But we just want to make sure the public has all of the information before we move forward with that.
Not only does this give us more time to talk to more people in the county about this facility, but it also gives us time to work with the state legislature on coming up with some other ways to, you know, fund a jail that doesn't totally involve property taxes, and the Nebraska Association of County Officials is working on that. So hopefully that will help. But I think we need to do a little bit more lobbying in the state to help us fund this with limit of property taxes. So.
Senator Klaus is the one that's doing an interim study right now on specific use sales tax.
Yep. And that would help this whole process a lot, because we all know that we're over property taxed in Nebraska, so that'll help sell this a lot.
Probably not going to be on the ballot then.
I think it would be very difficult to proceed.
Unless anything changes, let us know 2 weeks from Monday, and we'll have it on. Otherwise, we'll hold off for now.
Yeah, I think I'll just make one more statement, Eric. As far as the sales tax goes, you know, I think, you know, if we move forward looking at next spring for a bond vote, I think that we move forward with the idea that, you know, the legislature is definitely going to have that conversation, but we'll have to look at having, you know, the ability to add additional resources for paying for it, like sales tax, like a special use sales tax, because at the time we had the vote, even in the spring, very likely that's not going to be passed or in place. So we'll just have to make sure that that's available to be added and used in order to
right.
to pay for a part of it.
Either way, it would have to be done as a bond, the full
Correct.
Amount, because you'd need
yep.
that to continue with construction. But
yes.
if we can do a sales tax, it would just help pay it off sooner.
Yeah.
And the sales tax, I know that some people immediately cringe at the thought of a sales tax, but with a sales tax, about roughly 40% of that revenue comes from out of county, which is that much less that would be put on the taxpayers here in the county.
Correct. And we have that data because we've used something similar,
yep.
you know, in the past 10 years. The other thing that I'll say is that I believe that there's a lot of positive support as far as a jail goes. I do think there's a lot of the public that has had conversations that knows that, you know, there is a need here. I think the big thing is that from our committee and whatever, when we go to that, I know, I'm just about done. When we do go to a vote, you know, we have to have something that's reasonable, and not exotic. We put something that's worthwhile and not exorbitant. And I think that what I've seen so far is pretty good, and I think it will be supported. It's just a matter of making sure that everybody has all the information.
With that, I'll stop you as we have a timed event at 9:15. Are there any other 2026 culvert projects bids for group one in the audience? If not, I'd ask for a motion to close 2026 Culvert Project group one bids.
Move to close at 9:20.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. Do you have a letter opener down there, Mr. Dorn?
Yes, he does.
There is a sign-up sheet on the desk to my right by Mr. Kunke for the public hearing for the 1-6-year plan. If anyone would like to speak at that public hearing, that'll be coming up in 9 minutes.
This is from Metal Culvert Incorporated. I'll just go individually. Or they all start with a C-34, so we'll dub it down to Project 1214. A total of $58,247.80 for $12.75, $68,282.98. $12.89, $61,255.76. For Project 1290, $85,682.74 for a total cost of the projects of $354,852.43. Delivery date, 8 to 9 weeks.
Just for clarification, I did ask Eric. Grand total, we can't do individual. We aren't able to break them down individually. So.
Yeah, it would be a total, whoever the chief
of the project. Yep.
This second one. Contact Engineered Solutions. 1214, $67,924.05. 1275, $94,473.26. 1285, $84,688.30. 1289, $70,050.97. 1290, $82,397.29. Total for projects,
$399,533.87.
Delivery on that one. Oh, sorry. 12 to 18 weeks.
Terry, can you?
Here.
Do you have the first total?
Right there.
Oh, I have the bottom. I didn't have the first 12, 14 project.
This is from Ace Eaton Metals. Total for project C-34, 1285, $66,751.95. For 1289, $54,070. For 1290, $74,909. This is mixed up. Hold up, please. Okay, I give you the first one. Delete what I just said there. There's another page. Project 1214, $55,309.64. Project 1275, $74,386.44. Project 1290, $74,909.65. Total for projects, $325,427.68. Delivery dates, well, they range anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to 15 to 18 weeks on approval. And I think that is it. Three.
Do you like to turn those over to the Highway Department for recommendation later in this meeting?
Yes, sir. We just, well, got Mark and wherever. Oh, we got Manel. We got an engineer here. He'll look them over, too.
We have 4 minutes before our next timed event. I think that before starting road and bridge, we'll just take a 4 minute recess. Dorn's already hit the highway. We'll reconvene at 9:30. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing to hear support and or opposition to the 1 and 6 year plans at 9:30 o'clock.
Second.
Motion by Adams, second by Claybaugh. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. We're in public hearing. There's a sign-up sheet on the table to my right for anyone that would like to speak. Where'd Mr. Kunkey go? Yeah, it'd probably be a good idea. It's his show here. Would you have Mark Jr. come out also, and maybe they could take a break from reviewing? Thank you, Lisa. We've had discussions on the 1 and 6, making sure certain things are on. Everything is as of now. Mr. Juergens.
Just to brief everybody, this is the 1 and 6 year plan that Mark provided to us. And if you see, it's fairly extensive throughout Gage County. Projects that are planned for this 1 year, and hopefully projects planned for the next 6 years. So, at one point, when I get time, I'll start scribbling what all these are. So, Mark, we need people yet?
There's nobody signed up on there yet, so.
Okay. Mark, say you want to brief us on some of this stuff?
Would you go ahead and put it up on the screen so we can all see it?
If I was informed ahead of time to do that, I could have.
Next year.
We'll work on it next year. The 1 and 6 year plan, the 1 year is what our goal is to complete by the end of this fiscal year. The 6 year is the future projects. There are some stuff on there that sometimes will just continue to be on there, but usually the 6 year is kind of our long-term goal that we're shooting for, getting these projects done. Speaking with several board members, you know, they call and request, or township officials call and request, and we push that on to the 6 year plan and then fit it into the schedule as budgets allow.
Mark, a comment to make, for me anyway. We've knocked out a lot of small bridges, but as Mark has said,
the low-hanging fruit is gone.
Huh?
The low-hanging fruit is gone.
The low-hanging fruit is gone. The projects that are left are larger projects, more expensive projects, and so, you know, some of this takes time, but money constraints are right now, we're going to do the best we can to get done what we've got here.
After our box over projects in the Claytonia DeWitt area, it kind of clicked on a big picture of knowing haul routes, farmers, construction. So that's kind of been the big picture for me the last year and a half is making sure that we have roads that we can get to that are non-restricted bridges or narrow bridges that we can get replaced for agricultural, for construction. So.
I talked to Mark about a bridge over in Midland Township, and that was part of the concern there is Logan. When that, I'm sorry?
Logan Township.
Logan, I was thinking it was in Midland. Logan Township, it's a 9 mile, 8 or 9 mile drive around when that bridge goes down, and it goes down regularly. So that one, I believe, is on the 1 year plan now. These aren't neglected. It's just there are only so many that you have to maintenance as long as we can, and then we move into the replacement as possible. But
and equipment is bigger than it ever has been.
Equipment keeps getting bigger. Everybody has a semi and a 53-foot trailer now. But
we are also able to pull, if it is a project that is on the 6 year, we are able to pull that onto the 1 year if needed.
The other thing this year with our 1 and 6, I told Mark with budget constraints the way they are, we've been dipping into the road and bridge sinking fund regularly the last few years. We're taking in everything away from that now. It'll be budgeted for us to do it as an emergency sinking fund only, so that way we aren't budgeting projects out of that. Because that has a tendency, once it goes out, we don't have an ability to replenish that right now. So we do need that safety factor in case we do lose a major structure.
I talked to Mark on the way in a little bit with projects for the next grant cycle, and we're going to meet with them, I think, one of these dates here soon, with the grant writers to work on another project. But I talked to him about potentially putting on some of our older surfaces. It'd be something that we would work on so that they're on our 6 year plan so that I can put it in a rural surface transportation project. I think that would be a really good project to put in for that grant application as a bundle package. So like a lot of our older or more worn surfaces. And just because you're dying to know, Terry, we are meeting on Friday for the Odell Road, so it's coming.
You're going to have a date?
A meeting, yeah.
A meeting.
Bam!
I'm assuming since the environmental is on there, too, that I think that's all moving forward. So
really?
We'll keep working.
Did you get them on, Vanelli?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you have all your design work there for... Take off 2 inches and put 2 inches back?
That side of it's been good to go for a while.
All right.
And with that, on the 1 year plan, there is shouldering to be done on that road, Mark, right? Okay. Before the actual project starts.
It will be, I believe, as part of the project.
Part of the project?
Part of the project.
Okay.
The county forces won't be doing it. It will be part of the project.
Okay.
Can we specify that we'll do that prior to the mill? The shouldering just to keep truck traffic and stuff off the edge of the road there?
I'd have to look at how it's written, but yeah, possibly.
That'd be smart.
Anyone from the public like to speak in support or opposition to the 1 and 6 year plan? Additional comment, question from the board of supervisors? Mr. Conkey, anything additional?
We pushed really hard to try to get our 1 year completed. I think last year we missed it by, minus some big projects, bridges and whatnot, I think we only missed by 3 projects, 4. It wasn't very many, so.
And it's been an aggressive 1 year plan. It's not like you're setting your bar low.
I've seen some other 1 year plans, and ours is very aggressive compared to some of the other counties.
If there's nothing else for public hearing, I'd ask for a motion to come out of public hearing in support or opposition to the 1 and 6 year plan at 9:38.
Motion.
Yeah.
Quite a bit lower than motion by Dorn.
Except for
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Jergens. Motion by Dorn, second by Jergens. Discussion on coming out of public hearing at 9:38. Please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries.
The mayor never lit up.
6 in favor.
A 6 in favor, I'm sorry. I broke my switch, so we put a new one on, and then I turned it too hard, and I broke that one. Approve or disapprove resolution number 26-15. Approve or disapprove resolution 26-15 on the 1- and 6-year plan. And ask for a motion to approve this as presented.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. We leave that on for a second. Bingo. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution number 26-16 for the signing of project program agreement BL2629.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Mr. Conkey, do you want to touch on this?
This is the agreement for the Claytonia DeWitt Transportation grant, the BILD grant.
BILD grant. And that will consist of three
new bridges on the Claytonia Creek and a little tributary off the Claytonia Creek, which are in dire need of replacement. I believe a kayak ramp and then repavement from Claytonia to DeWitt with concrete.
As well as widened and load-rated bridges.
With wider shoulders, too.
Nice improvement there.
Everything will be non-load restrictive across those three bridges, which will be very nice for the communities of Claytonia and DeWitt.
Motion by Juergens, second by Dorn. Additional discussion on approval of the BILD grant resolution program agreement. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove program agreement for Claytonia DeWitt Transportation and Safety, control number 13662. Project number DPS 330511.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Conkey. Discuss and approve or disapprove public. Oh. Nicole, I'm sorry. Ms. Stoner, would you like to come up and give your extension update before we do road and bridge? I will hop back on the agenda since we skipped over those other two items.
I figured you'd eventually remember me. I do have a handout for you guys.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to first come and thank you guys, for all of you, for the painting job on our office. Looks great. The gray is much better, much improved from the yellow that was chipping and fading. So we appreciate that. Looks really nice. If you haven't got a chance to come out there and take a look, definitely stop by. We got our flag back up and everything, so we're doing good there. So I want to tell you I appreciate it. This is just some updates from the three of us in the office. So first is on the front page is my stuff that I've been doing. Obviously, still continuing the Grow Big Red virtual learning series that we're doing. If you haven't had a chance, they're all recorded and you can watch any of them, and they're monthly. We have two more for the season. I will be teaching the one in September on fall gardening and that kind of stuff. And so we've had a pretty good attendance, about average about 56 participants for that each time. You guys listen to Yard and Garden, and I finished up the main part of the season, and we had 236 calls in the 15 shows so far for an average of 16 calls a show. So it's doing pretty good. This year we added text questions to the show, so people who are nervous about talking on the radio can still get their questions answered. So that has helped a lot. And we do have two more fall shows coming up on September 4th and 11th. And then I'm still putting them on the podcast, so if you missed them, you know, Eric, we talked about listening to it in your truck, so I don't know if you have been, but still there. And I also have been doing Yard and Garden Extra episodes. So I did about 6 this year, did a few before the season. I did one on storm damage in the middle of the season. And then I just posted another one. So, and then if you guys are interested in learning about herbs, we've got some herb gardening program. Carly from my office and myself have teamed up, and we're doing one tomorrow night at the library at 6 o'clock. And then we also are doing one, I don't think I put it on here, but in November at Tall Tree. So some options there on learning about growing and using herbs in your cooking. And then, let's see. Oh, my new Master Gardener classes start today. So I've got 4 new Master Gardeners signed up from the Gange County area. So that will be fun for us to get to know each other over the next few weeks. If you turn, the second page is just a snapshot of the Gage County Fair from JC. So we had more than 150 businesses and organizations that supported the youth and during the fair. And you can see listed here on that front sheet is the number of exhibitors and the entries that were judged. So looks like, I think, healthy lifestyles and foods, and then home design and restoration were the top ones this year. Gardens weren't quite ready yet. So.
What does that mean? Can you give us what's home design and restoration?
So that's all like a little more of like the crafty things, like it could be artwork. Trying to think here. Like, it's not sewing, it's not photography, it's not woodworking, but it's like the other craft type things that people can make.
And healthy lifestyle, is that like cooking dishes?
Yeah, like baking and food preservation and things like that. So we had 171 youth for the static exhibit, so that's all the stuff in the 4-H building. The static things that don't move, not the animals. and over 1,490 entries. So, and then on the back here, we've got a snapshot of livestock entries. And let's see, we had 77 beef exhibitors for 180 entries. And we had, what was the other big one? That's the biggest one. Swine, we had 44 exhibitors for 143 entries. Dairy goat, we had, I was looking at stock or feeder. We had 27 exhibitors with 60 entries. So we had 231 exhibitors for the livestock across 16 livestock and animal project areas. So
how is that historically? For
you were going to ask that, and I don't remember.
That is my question, because when I look at only 30 exhibitors.
Is it higher or lower? We've got the...
We are higher.
Okay. I don't have the full length.
Mine used to be full years ago, and I walked through a few years ago, and I thought, geez, it seemed like it was a fraction, but it's good if numbers are coming back up.
If Lisa says so, she's been there longer than I have working with it. we do have, like, all the years, but that's at the office, and JC has that information. So, but we had 126 dedicated volunteers that helped with the fair this year, and so...
What is Clover Kids?
Clover Kids are the kids that are not 4-H age, but it's...
It's not
age. I think it's 5 to 7 is okay. The age. So it's non-competitive. It's just for those younger kids to get a start in it. So, we do a Clover Kids show where they come and they can pick whichever animals they want to show and do that. That's on Saturday of the fair. All right. And then on the last page is Carly's highlights. She was out of the office for a while on maternity leave, and she has come back. But before she left, she set up work with the Beatrice Farmers Market. And so every week at the farmers market, we had the summer interns that were doing it a lot. I did it a couple times where we went with a recipe, and I worked with her, and I made a grow guide for the featured vegetable item of the week. And so we've been at all of the farmers markets, and we'll continue to. She's also working with that Plant Alliance, which is Beatrice Farmers Market on Thursday nights with the Power of Produce Club, and so that's a weekly opportunity for children to come in and complete an educational activity. A few of them have been done by myself and my master gardeners, and then they complete that, and then they earn $3 in pop bucks that they can use to purchase fresh fruit or vegetables from the vendors. So it helps them kind of work with like healthy eating and all of that good stuff.
The kids get excited about that too. That's been a good program.
Yeah, it's been fun. When I go, well, I went a couple weeks ago, right after the fair, and we had like 28-ish kids, I think, came through. Because I had 32 pots, and I think I only had like 4 or 5 left. So, and they planted a seed of okra, which was the weekly featured item. And so then they were, so hopefully they're growing it at home now. So she's been, she worked a lot of that out prior to leaving and for her maternity leave, and then we kept it going through the whole time. So it's been fun. And then she did get her Healthy Children, Healthy Communities grant for a 3-year cycle there. So they're working with daycare providers, and they're watching, like, doing research with how the kids are eating breakfast, lunch, and I think snack, I think is what it is. Don't quote me. This is what I've heard from her. So she's been working with those kinds of things, and then, of course, she's still working with the Fred and Pamela Buffett Cancer Center, and they're doing some cancer screening things at, like, Fall City, and she wants to try to do some around here, too. So always good to know about your cancer screening. Well, that's what we've been up to, in
Nicole,
a nutshell.
I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong with my tomato plants? All the leaves are curly up on them and stuff like that.
Did you spray again?
I drove by it with a sprayer, but I didn't spray them.
Did you park next to it with the sprayer?
I might have.
Backhand
next to it with the sprayer?
Yeah, what do you expect?
That's exactly what it is.
What's that?
That's probably what it is.
Just a whiff?
Yeah. Tomatoes are real sensitive.
I know.
And I get lots of calls on it. Oh.
If you rinse them off, I would not tell Chris that you parked your sprayer right by the tomatoes.
I parked it in the garage, and they were kind of...
So it's that heat, so the dicamba product 240 turns into a gas in that heat. That's why we don't use dicamba when it's really hot.
I understand that.
I think there might even be restrictions on that.
Don't read those.
There are. Yeah. That's all right. My husband didn't like it when I was reading the label to him last night either.
We have 2 tomato plants, mm-hmm. and one is that way and the other one isn't.
It's weird how it moves in, like, wind currents and stuff. You know, like Larry Germer, he told me about one where it went up and over one farmstead and then down on the next farmstead one time. So, you know, it just gets caught in those wind currents when it's a gas like that, and it can do that. I had one year where it came up over my tree line and hit the last one, didn't hit the other ones in the row. So it's just the way that moves with it. And if it's not showing any symptoms, you're good. If it is, that's your decision on if you're going to eat it. I can't tell you if it's safe to eat. Common question.
But what do you do on that? Like, say he accidentally got him a whiff on there, you just rinse them really hard and hope, or it's just too late?
They'll grow out of it, but the food safety thing is the where I don't know. Most of the chemicals that they're getting the whiff from are not tested for food safety, so there's no way to know. And half the time it's from someone, a neighbor, and you don't know what they used. But even if you do know what it's from, they probably didn't test it for food safety. So that's your preference.
I tested it because they did have tomatoes on them, and they tasted great.
And that's where you'll go see Carly with... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it doesn't affect the taste. It's if the pesticide is still in there, then you're consuming that pesticide, which is not...
That's your problem.
Anything else for Ms. Stoner?
Oh boy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. You guys have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
We're going to jump back then to Road and Bridge, our last committee report. Mr. Juergens.
I don't know where our committee report sheet is, but they had a successful training. They said even the guys that thought they knew it all learned a few things, so that's good. And they were working on, what is it that I usually put? They're digging things, cutting things, moving things. No, other than that, we have the 1 and 6 year plan on the agenda today, so that was pretty much it.
No, things have slowed down because of the weather.
No, we've had, I mean,
as far as projects.
Yep, hauling rock and.
A lot of milling and filling. The asphalt crew's been busy.
Yep.
With that, we'll jump back ahead. Discuss and approve or disapprove the public defender agreement. This has been reviewed by the public safety committee, which Ms. Fanning has helped get back put together. Do you want to touch on this? The public defender, they take care of the majority of our public defending cases. They have specifics in their contract. Once they go over that amount, and that amount isn't necessarily set by the state, but it's encouraged to be at a certain level so that they don't take on too many cases. Outside of that, we take on outside counsel. They all take turns kind of taking care of cases, fighting with Amanda. Mr. Tyman's done this for quite a few years now. Prior to that, he did it under the former county, the former public defender's office, but then the contract was moved over to him as he was doing that work anyway. We extended it multiple years. This one just makes some adjustments to price. I don't think we changed caseload rules at all, did we?
I don't know if you did between a previous contract and this contract, but I know that the proposed contract is based on what the statutory guidelines are.
And that's what the old one was, too. There were guidelines. They weren't. He was at the upper end of the guidelines, so if I remember right. He was taking on as many cases as he felt comfortable with and Roger felt comfortable with.
That sounds right. Yeah, I'll just maybe hit some of the highlights here. We did. There we go. The board did appoint a public defender contract review board that was made up of Dave Swavely, Zach Vaca with Leppin Law Firm, and Nolan Schaefer with Leppin Law Firm. They did review the proposed public defender contract, found that it was reasonable. If you've had an opportunity to review their report and their recommendations essentially are that all the terms proposed by the public defender are appropriate, specifically the amount. Mr. Tyman is recommending that he receive a 4.5% increase for the 2 years beginning July 1st, 2026 through June 30th of 2028, and then an additional 4.5% increase for those latter 2 years, this being a four-year contract. Noting that if this were to be billed out to the county at the $125 hourly rate, that the county would actually be paying closer to $250,000 a year rather than his proposed contract of around $174,000 with those gradual increases. So the review board said, yes, we believe that's appropriate. It's actually going to be a savings to the county. And if I'm giving my recommendation today, I would say that the board would be reasonable for the board to approve the proposed contract with the recommendations made by this review board.
Thank you, Ms. Fanning. Any questions, Mr. Juergens?
How do you lawyers try to defend somebody when you know they're guilty as hell?
I don't know if that's the appropriate question for now.
All right.
It's an honest one. On that. I'll catch me after the meeting.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Adams, second by Dorn. Any more discussion on the public defender's agreement? Good to have a contract in place on this. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Mr. Juergens, does Mr. Kunke and Mr. Minnelli have a recommendation for us?
Good
recommend going with Ace Eaton Metals for the contract price of $325,427.68. They are also the low bid.
Quick question, what did you have as a budget number in for those culverts?
363 was the estimate.
He recommends Ace Eaton for an aggregate total of $325,427.68, also the low bid. I'd ask for a motion to approve that recommendation.
The delivery date don't bother you? Okay.
Motion?
Yep.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Juergens to approve this recommendation. Any questions or comment? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Ace Eaton will be awarded that contract. If you leave that with Don, we could actually sign that today and just get copies and stuff too, I assume. Next, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2026. Do you want this? So we'll receive and place on file the preliminary valuations. Do we need Ms. Milligan down here? I guess these are all just preliminary, though.
This is all just your,
Ms. Milligan, do you have any comment on the preliminary valuations for the political subdivisions?
These are not really preliminary. They're fine.
No, this is the resolution, but you guys are responsible for that. That one's later on, though.
So you don't have any issues with what we went through.
Okay. I would ask for a motion to place on file the preliminary evaluations.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Claybaugh. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Receive preliminary requests for levy allocations to the county boards from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society. These would be the preliminary requests.
Do we all have those?
Pardon?
Do we have those?
We do not have prelim.
Yeah, you have a copy. If there's any changes, then she has till the 20th. So.
We don't have preliminary requests from the Ag Society, though.
No, they haven't put them in.
He wants to talk?
Oh.
Just like.
Could you give your name and address for the record, Don?
Don Esau, chairman of the Gage County Ag Society Fair Board. So I guess what we're asking, you know, I know everybody asks for money, and that's great. We have a fair, and the fairgrounds this coming year will be celebrating 70 years on that particular spot, and our infrastructure is becoming deteriorated, as you all know, after 70 years. So I guess just, you know, with the money that we do get from you, a lot of that goes for ribbons, judges, so forth, and so probably almost half of that takes care of the judges, the ribbons, and the premiums to the exhibitors at the county fair. So there's not an overabundance of money left over to continue doing our roads and so forth. Just to add a little bit of what Nicole stated before, those numbers of exhibitors and people at the fair were 4-H. We also have over, 1,000?
So actually we have we had an additional 500 exhibitors that exhibited in open class for another 4,200 exhibits that came in through the open class area, in addition to our vendors. And I think that was 460-some exhibitors that showed those exhibits. So that's one side of the component, but the open class and the community and family enrichment portion of our program is very valuable. So
yeah, and like you were stating before, you know, the numbers, in the last 10 years we've done, went to a premium auction to increase our numbers, because 15 years ago before this started, when we was working on that, we only had 12 market beef at the county fair. So with our premium auction, we've increased that, which is goes to the kids that do market animals. And we have a formula that we do that. And so when we started that, we had 53 kids. And this would be beef, swine, goats, and sheep, market animals. We had 53 kids that participated. This past year, we had 107. And thanks to the community, we have an auction. We raised over $100,000, which goes back to those kids. We have a formula. And so it's, you know, the community is very, very much behind our fair, and we want to keep it, you know, as nice as possible and keep improving, you know. So
that's good for the kids, too, to be involved with livestock on a hands-on basis.
I think when we look at events coming into the fairgrounds, just to share a little bit of statistics, we had 21,000 people come through our front gate. Those are clicks that are taken headwise. We also keep track of those license plates numbers, the states and so forth that come back to us. So we're proud of that fact, that we're, you know, keeping using our facilities the way that we do, except, again, as you look at our, you know, just as our facility, you know, it's growing older, and just the roads and streets, you know, things of that nature, you know, is used daily in addition to using the Midway area for state driver's testing. So we have a very valuable Speedway program, as most of you know, but those programs are, you know, self-supporting funds that are, we make through alcohol sales, or the state statutes clearly states that dates back to 1864 is funding that we receive from the county is first to be used for premiums, judges, and ribbons to promote agriculture. And then from that point to pay for, you know, programming or repairs and maintenance. So our grandstand is, this is the 70th year, 1956 is how old the grandstand will be. So
we currently have budgeted about $135,000 to the Ag Society, and those numbers haven't changed. They've stayed flat for years. All of our outside entities we've stayed flat on for the last at least 5 years, if not more. Actually, it's probably more than that now. And we've done that for budgetary reasons. Ms. Haxby's been working on some projects, too. I know you want to say something here.
No, well, we have been putting in grants and haven't got selected for that yet. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. We're going to keep working on that. But a couple of years ago, we did try to increase the allocation to the fair board. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago we voted on that. But the board at that time, or correct me if I'm wrong, but we had said we need to have a project. So if you have something specific that with a cost attached to it, that's something that we can consider in the budget, that'd be really helpful. So, like, put together some numbers and then bring it forward in the request and make sure we get the request in when we do our budget.
I'm assuming you guys have an idea of something that you're wanting to update or replace right now.
So our current project right now, we just got our bid in after Monday night, was to put air conditioning and heating into Ag Hall to make that a serviceable building to be utilized within our community, possibly could be used also for meetings, you know, such as what you guys were looking for as we move forward with some reporting capabilities as well. We see the incentive there just from the groups that are utilizing our grounds. So we had the tractor group come in. That was the Tractor Across America. Everybody wants those, you know, that air conditioning facility. We do not have that other than in the 4-H building, which is overseen by a separate board. So,
well, what I was more direct is like, how much is it going to cost to do your upgrades? Because that, and to give us a, like, that was the point that was made at the time to me when I did try to increase it, was yeah, we can increase it. Yes, we know we have older facilities that do need attention, but what does that cost? Sure. So it definitely get some projects, kind of an idea of what it is, what it costs.
I mean, I would guess our roads, the streets are probably, you know, we've got cracks in them. Not that we haven't, you know, we have people come in and seal them and all that, but, you know, they're almost beyond the point of resealing them. They probably need, you know, I guess that would be the biggest thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is get that, like, you know, kind of have that list of things, and then make sure we put in the request at that with that dollar amount on there so that we have something to go off of.
Don, specifically on the air conditioning there, I know that won't be cheap, but it probably won't be an astronomical amount. Everybody's gotten used to air conditioning. I mean, I always say that's my favorite amenity we have now, having air during the day. But heat, we can put coats on, but air sure is nice. This is directly a tourism piece, and I would really encourage the Fair Board to put in an application for a tourism grant, because this does bring as many people in as anything. Potentially more if you could use it for other things, but I would really encourage you guys to put a tourism grant.
We're in the process.
Oh, you already are on.
Well, we're in the process of gathering.
Okay.
And with this air conditioning, this has been a project that we have been involved with Big Give for the last, you know, well, this will be
three years,
you know. And so we do have some money, you know, with the money we have, and, you know, possibly a tourism grant. You know, I think hopefully it'll be done by next fair, and after this fair, you know, the first 3 days were awesome, and Saturday and Sunday were cookers, and, you know, just a side note, our carnival guy, they keep track, and they, I don't know, it was astronomical how well they did. On Sunday, they only had did less than $600 of take-in. So, you know, it wasn't worth it for them either, so.
I have it here in those buildings. I know I always would swing through the 4-H building just to get a breather, you know, as you're walking around.
Well, I was just thinking on your asphalt repair, where this is a reflection on Gage County, we cannot use our own crew to help them.
I was thinking the same thing.
So I know we had that conversation when I had asked about sealing our cracks. We're considered to be a private, you know,
organization.
But I mean, opening the doors to some opportunities for resources would be great. So I think it's just like Virginia. Yep.
I was thinking the same thing, Rex. I'm getting told no on both sides at the same time for liability issues, because it makes sense that we would use our in-kind forces to do that. The issue is we don't own that property. If that was ours, it's not Gage County's, it's Gage County Ag Society's. That's the kicker. Unless we would take that over and it would become ours. Which I don't know. That'd be great to give that to the city. But no, the roads need replaced out there for years. Some of that, you know, you hate putting money into it if there's going to be big changes down the road, too. So you're always trying to balance those two.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You both. This item is received preliminary request for levy allocations to the county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical, and Gage County Ag Society. I will also bring up, I've talked to Mr. Norton. Mr. Norton has made requests multiple years in a row also to increase the Gage County Historical Society budget. But I've told him each year, we're holding those flat. Now, any of that changes if you guys tell me we're going to do that differently, but that's where we've been. He still called and asked for more money every year.
What is the number of that?
Gage County Historical Society?
40,000.
No. 30.
That's what they submitted for a request this time, is 31.
Is that the same as last year?
They had a higher
two. and all these, I will say too, just on the other side, I try to put these out for conversation. Each of these entities were not required to fund anything to. This is taxing authority that we take out of the county taxing authority and pass over to outside agencies. All of these, other than townships, we really need to fund. Rural fires, we don't need to. If we don't fund them at all, they have the ability to put on the ballot for funding. Historical society, ag society, these are all outside entities. It's for the betterment of the community. We're allowing that taxation to go that direction, but these are non-necessary. That's the wrong way to say it, because they are necessary. We wouldn't fund them. They are not required.
Required. There are quality of life issues on the fire.
We've looked at changing things around. We've looked at adding to. We've looked at taking away from, including townships and rural fires. As of today, you guys have said keep it all the same, so that's what we've run with. Is there any... Is there, I guess, wish from the board to make changes to these allocations?
Do we got room to up them?
Right now we're in the process of cutting out of county office, county operations. We started at approximately $2 million over. We've worked down to under half of that over now, but there are still wild cards. The additional wages to law enforcement and corrections, the back pay on that, as well as the increase to their wages, is going to be a significant operational challenge. The sheriff's budget and the jail budget have both, well, we're going to hit doubled within the next few years, from not that long ago. They're just climbing faster than any of the other budgets. So that's our biggest challenge, I would say, is jail and law enforcement. And it comes down to the wages have increased so dramatically over the last few years. Highway department budget has been hit pretty hard this year already. We're trying not to affect material, but there's already a big ticket item there. There's a motor grader that we're going to replace. We've pulled that out right now. I don't know what else will come out of that, but we don't want to lose bridges. We don't want to lose road maintenance. We also don't want to get behind on equipment, but we're looking at any place that we can cut right now. Sheriff's Department hasn't been hit yet, but we're probably going to have to look at that one. That's the bad thing. The retro pay alone is going to be a hit on them. I don't know how they'll operate within that. The intention is, they spend another $300,000-$400,000 in a year. The intention is, from their side, that we just give them another $300,000-$500,000. When it's not there, what they're going to be looking at, and that was what I talked to the sheriff and also Deputy Behrens about. We're already cutting everywhere. There isn't money to just keep giving. So as there isn't money, their options are reduce staff, reduce services, stop updating or slow updating. And their budget, just like most of the county budgets, are primarily labor. So that's their option. As they increase wages like they have, they may end up losing people and cutting services.
When do we know if we have to do the pink card? What is the deadline for that?
It's going to be really hard to get below that.
I think we're going to have to.
When is that time frame, though?
We have to. I have to turn the information into Patty the 4th, but we need to know that sooner than that so we can get the material ready.
We haven't had to since they've done it. This year is going to be incredibly challenging not to. I don't think it's realistic right now.
Well, Eric, you take the increased cost just looking at the roads department, gravel, all those inputs,
fuel's a big one. Rock, gravel, those are big ones. Mark, I think, budgeted appropriately for increases, but that goes fast. And when we've gone from culverts at $40,000, $50,000 to install $2 million bridges, that also makes a big difference as we're getting into the higher dollar projects. There may be fewer done, but they're at a much higher expense.
Give us some good news, will you?
Everything's still strong, still operating. Everybody's coming in still.
So
it's just
the levy's down. The levy will be down.
That is true.
Levy will be down. It's just our increase. We've shot for under 2% every year. We've either gone down or we've run in that 1-2% range.
We can talk about this
later on in the meeting, but. We're going to try to keep working this down. Across the street's going to be insurance and law enforcement. Law enforcement and insurance are going to be our two biggest challenges financially, even with all the increases to fuel, labor throughout the rest of the county, and material. They all are dwarfed by law enforcement, corrections, and insurance.
Right now where we sit is about a 3.6% increase from when we started. It was over 6% increase.
Don, what did you tell me Monday? The valuation of Gage County increased what?
Well, it's 7%, 7.4%.
How much?
I think it was 7.4.
7.4.
Yeah, sounds right.
We're 7. Now at 5.2 billion. We were at 4.9. Is that correct?
Basically.
So.
But it doesn't do us a whole lot of good when we have those books that we can.
What did you just say, Mr. Adams?
Aren't we at 5.276974 billion now?
It's a little different than that, I think.
We're over 5 billion. We were just sub 5, and we were
4.9.
We're over now.
Here's what we're at right now.
About 5.3 now, and we were about 4.9.
So growth is your savior.
Keep in mind, some of that increase is increased valuation as our valuations on existing properties has gone up. Some of it's growth.
Here's your growth.
Number one.
Here's your growth right here.
Growth this year, 24.3 million. So, unfortunately, that's the minority of the increase is growth. The majority of it's increase in valuations. That growth number is what we need bigger to get taxation, to keep costs under control. So I keep telling you guys there's one way to do that. It's increased investment in the county, whether that's agricultural, industrial, commercial, residential. We need to be open for business. We need growth. That's what controls costs for our residents. On this item, I'd ask for a motion to receive preliminary request for levy allocation as presented, unless there are specific items you guys would like to change.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, second by Adams. And that is presented as presented without change. Additional discussion on preliminary levy requests. Our final levy request will be presented to us by the Treasurer's Office in 2 weeks.
Yep. They have the 20th to get all the finalizing done. Patty does. And so if there's any changes, then that'll be reflected.
Any additional discussion from the board? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution 26-17, setting final allocation of levy authority for the following. Township, Rural Fire, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society. Do we need to wait on this in case there are changes?
No, that'll be on our
So these Ag Society would be at 0.002558, Historical Society at 0.000587, Rural Fire all would be at 0.03, Townships would be to a max of 0.03, and townships would be 0.075 up to 0.075. Now, those could vary depending on the township and the rural fire district. For a total levy authority, we'd be giving away to outside entities potential of 0.108145 mil. 26-17 resolution. Yes. I would ask for a motion to approve resolution 26-17.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Adams, second by Dorn. Some of these may change depending on valuation certification, otherwise they would remain the same. Going once. Please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. The last item on the agenda would be discussion on fiscal year 26-27 budget. Then I do have a real quick closed session to talk about.
Did we miss something?
Okay. A real quick closed session to talk about. Yes, court ruling, so some litigation. But budget discussion, like we've talked about, we came in $2 million over our, around $2 million over our potential tax asking. We've whittled that down, gone from 6 to over 3% still. I'd love to say we're going to get this under 2%, but we're at 3.64 right now. It's currently an increase of about $600,000.
This is this year.
This is this year.
No, this is our authority. This is where we're at right now. This is what we were last year.
So we're about $400,000 increase right now from last year to this year. I think you went to the... But we keep whittling that down. There's only so much we can come down, though. Like I say, with FOP contract, we're going to have retro pay there, as well as large increase to wages at the sheriff's department and for the corrections staff. We also have a large increase in potential liabilities for our insurance this year. Following with that, we keep seeing increases in all costs, just like everyone else does, fuel, materials, repairs, equipment. Wasn't too long ago we could get a motor grader for somewhere in that $240,000 budget. Potential request was for $350 for one blade this year. I'll use our 963D Cat. I believe that was purchased for somewhere in the mid $200,000. I heard the other day, I haven't seen this for sure, but I saw that, I heard that the 963 has gone past a K. I think it's back to just 963. Track loader is going to be north of $500,000 now. And our blades, we utilize them every day. Some of the other equipment we don't. I've told Mark, anticipate keeping this longer and running it out because with those increased costs, we just don't have the money for replacement and turn on those. Wish list from people for budget, things you guys would like us to attempt to cut, things you want us to look at and try to whittle at or add money back to.
Can we, yeah, Don, can we cut the clerk's department?
Sure.
I was visiting with one office, and they said, you know, well, we do these things, and no one else can do these. And I said, well, you're right. And I said, what you don't realize is I heard that exact same conversation from four other places in the last week or so. Each place is important. whether it's the sheriff's office or the assessor's office or the register of deeds. Everybody does a task that's crucial, and everyone thinks theirs is the most important. That's good. That's normal. But the other offices are essential also, or we would get rid of them. Sheriff usually says we cut his budget. We haven't gotten into that yet. Places to pull, places to push, suggestions. Where you want us to end up, I can get to any number you want. I just need permission. I'd like to whittle some more. We're probably to the whittling. I mean, 6 years ago we did a bunch of hatchet work and we really pulled things down and leaned out. That stuff's gone now. Now we're kind of trimming fat. We can't cut hunks off anymore. That's kept us really low, but at the same time, we do have to keep up with what we've been below inflation rate every time. We do have to keep up with material prices.
We just hope it's just this 1 year. We'll get through with because of our insurance. You know? We don't know.
That's one bad thing. A lot of our costs have come up and they won't come back down. They're just, it's not coming back. Insurance is one that could vary back in our direction. We don't know that. It could keep going up, but that one could come back down some. Equipment, material, labor, that doesn't come down. It's just up. Well, we will keep whittling away then unless you guys tell us to stop. I don't know where we'll get to, but there's still room. It's just I don't know how much. With that, I would ask for a brief closed session, a motion to go into closed session necessary for the public, or necessary for the protection of the public interest for an update on litigation at 10:31.
So moved.
Motion by Adams. Second by Juergens. Please vote. 6 in favor. We're in closed session at 10:31.
Every time you ding and turn it on. Okay.
I would ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 11:10.
Open it up.
Anyone? Go in once. Going twice, 11:10. Anybody?
Nobody wants to.
For lack of a motion, we'll stay in closed session.
Oh,
now we have one. Motion by Dorn, second by Haxby to come out at 11:10. Any discussion? We were in closed session to discuss potential litigation and some personnel. Please vote. 5 in favor. We are now missing Mr. Juergens and Mr. Lytle. With that, we are adjourned for the day at 11:11.
Okay, so if we have the joint public hearing on September 11th,